The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
All right, Joe Mixon, the most expensive running back on the DFS slate, at least in FanDuel, I assume in DraftKings. Why don't I know that? I should know that.
Would you like to know that?
Yeah, I would like to know that.
The answer is yes.
I told you.
The most expensive guy on DraftKings.
Very unprepared for today. I'm very self-conscious for today's show. I really shouldn't even be here. Jamie, take over. I'm out.
You like the dishwasher? You're broken?
My stupid... Yes, stupid broken dishwasher. Still broken, still not replaced. What a saga. Three deliveries, three failures by the company that I ordered it from. Hopefully fourth time's a charm. I'll keep you all posted. Anyway, Mixon might be someone you want to go to. It is not easy to find great running backs with a good matchup this week in DFS. We'll talk all about that. We got Ben Roethlisberger retiring. We got a head coach hiring. We got head coach rumors. We got Sean Payton stepping away. We got big, big stuff. We got a new game called Name That Tiger. Name That Tiger.
Okay.
As we talk wide receivers here, let's talk DFS. We'll start with a little DFS. Who's someone that you love this week, Dave Richard?
I like Tyler Higbee. On DraftKings, he's 3,700. And I'm lowering the guidance for all the players in DFS. There's only two games. So instead of looking for three times value, we're looking for two times value. And hopefully they do a little bit better than that. But the dude should be able to come through for 9, 10 PPR points without breaking much of a sweat. And I don't think the matchup is too terribly horrible for him. I know he's had one good game this year and one not so good game against San Francisco. He might have had two good games, actually. I'd have to double check.
Yeah, three touchdowns in the two games against him.
I guess that qualifies as kind of good. So I think that he's an easy guy to go to when you're trying to save money to start as many studs at other positions.
Yeah, actually, if you look at tight end, and Uzama has been very targeted lately. I think he has six or more targets and something like six of his last seven games, five of his last six games.
Great playoffs so far.
Yeah, he's been great. Two straight games. Higbee's getting involved. And so, all right, so there's that.
Higbee at least 11 PPR points in each of two games against the Niners this year.
So at least I knew that stuff. Jamie, how about you? Who do you love?
I'm still going to play a lot of Jerick McKinnon. You know, I think you've seen what his role is in the passing game. You know, we'll see if Clyde Edwards-Helaire takes on a little bit more of the workload, you know, now that he's, you know, a full game removed from the shoulder injury, like Dave is removing his clothing.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes for McKinnon and Clyde. But in any event, you know, like you said, it's not a great matchup for the running backs. And so if you're looking for, you know, some guys that are relatively inexpensive to use, McKinnon, I think, still qualifies. I did four lineups, two on each site, DraftKings and FanDuel, and I tried to, you know, use almost every player just to get, you know, some variety with these guys. And so I have four different lineups that have all four quarterbacks and all the tight ends. And so a lot of different mixing and matching, but a lot of McKinnon based on his price.
Yeah, keep going, Dave. Let's go. Get that shirt off.
I was so warm wearing my jacket, I had to take it off.
You didn't hear what I said.
No, I didn't hear anything you said.
I said now that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is two games or will be two games removed from his shoulder injury, like Dave is removing his clothing.
It was perfect timing. All right, how about players?
Gotta be comfortable if I'm doing the podcast now.
So yeah, full disclosure for me, I have had a FanDuel lineup. I did not have a DraftKings lineup.
I will say full disclosure, not wearing pants.
Yeah, full removal.
We figure that.
Full removal for me. So yeah, that's why I didn't know the pricing, but I will by the end of the show.
Well, if you're not wearing pants, that means your wife is asleep again.
Everybody's awake. Okay, so. How about players to avoid? Jamie, who are you avoiding?
Well, like I said, I tried to get a little bit of everybody, you know, just to have some exposure to all these players. But The ones that make me the most nervous, I mean, Beckham's two games against the 49ers are absolutely miserable. You know, so we'll see how he does. He's clearly been so involved. And he had, I think it was 10 targets in the second game against the 49ers, but just did not do anything with those 10 targets. So he makes me nervous. I think we're going to see, you know, Chase. I was surprised he's not priced higher, but, you know, he's not going to have the game that he had the last time against them, clearly. With over 200 yards receiving, three touchdowns. So probably people are going to be chasing him, no pun intended. I'm trying to think who else like makes me, you know, the most concerned.
It's hard. I mean, maybe. Well, to me, it's like, you know, Eli Mitchell, Cam Akers, they have terrible matches.
You know, you're playing on FanDuel when you call him Eli Mitchell.
Why?
Because that's what they call him.
Oh,
the only place that he's ever called Eli Mitchell.
No, it looks like on DraftKings he's Eli Mitchell.
No, he's Elijah on DraftKings.
I'm hovering my mouse over his name and it says Eli Mitchell.
I thought it was Elijah on DraftKings.
Maybe you switched it. But no, Mitchell has a bad matchup. Like the Rams and the Niners run defenses are just exquisite.
But he's had good work and production against the 49ers. He just has not scored.
Who, Akers or Mitchell?
Also, but
wait, who are you talking about?
Mitchell.
So against the Rams. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if I want to start him in DraftKings. You know, he doesn't necessarily catch the ball. He's the second most expensive running back. So that was what was concerning me. I mean, that's why I felt like I kind of had to have Mixon, because I don't love the running backs. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do, and I don't love the matchups for Akers and Mitchell. So Mixon felt like, even though he's running like crap lately, he's so involved in the passing game. Chiefs give up the third most receiving yards to running backs. That was my read on running back. Dave, how about you? Who are you avoiding?
At running back or just overall?
Just in general. I couldn't really find a lot of avoids except for maybe trying to get away from bad matchups at running back. That's why.
I don't want to use Garoppolo. I know that there's going to be a temptation to try and go cheap at quarterback to try and spend elsewhere. But Garoppolo's just been playing so poorly, and this Rams defense has been playing so well. It really took Brady a while to finally get going against him last week. I think it's going to be hard for Garoppolo to do it. Garoppolo didn't even crack 20 fantasy points in each of the first two games that they played against each other. I think that he's just not worth it. And I disagree. I don't mind going. I'm just taking the chalk with running backs. I'm going with the studs. I'm going to put Mixon and Mitchell both in my lineup. I'm nervous about what to do with the Kansas City running backs. Don't really want to trust either one of them. For me, it's that they're just too expensive. Edwards-Helaire, 5,300 on DraftKings. McKinnon is 5,100. McKinnon was a much more appealing play when he wasn't so expensive. And now that he's the fourth most expensive running back, I can't take the chance on him.
Yeah, he's the third most expensive running back on FanDuel. So there is a
wild. When you say fourth wild, most, there's two games.
Yeah, but he's more expensive.
But like Cam Akers is cheaper. You can pick any Rams running back, and he's cheaper if you really want to. I mean, listen, you're taking a chance picking a Rams running back. I think you're taking just as much of a chance picking a Kansas City running back at this point. And is Darrell Williams definitely out?
No, he practiced in full.
Right. So who knows how that rotation's going to look?
I would imagine it's probably the same.
That makes me want to take Darrell Williams if he's going to play. He's 4,200, ninth most expensive running back.
So
cheaper than Darrell Henderson.
Akers
Jr.
is coming off the two fumble game. Obviously, that's a big deal. But does it make sense? You know what? I was going to do DFS later. Might as well just do it now. Does it make sense to save money at running back and on FanDuel? Eli Mitchell is $800 more than Akers on DraftKings. Mitchell is
900 more.
900
Akers.
More. Okay. Yep. So does it? So who would you rather go with, Mitchell or Akers, given the savings?
Mitchell. I don't think the savings are worth it.
Again, it just depends on what you want to do. Like I did two DraftKings lineups where I have one with Mitchell and one with Akers.
Okay. Are you guys worried about Akers losing his role?
A little bit.
I don't think he's losing his. He's not losing his playing time. He's not gonna sit. So they're not going to bench him for Sony Michel. He may be even more of a timeshare than Sony Michel.
Right. Like he's not going to go from whatever percentage of snaps he played last week to zero. Mm-hmm. Right. It's going to be, they're going to give some other guys a chance. I don't know if Henderson's playing yet or not. I know that they ruled him out relatively early last week.
Okay. So with that said, let's just go position by position here. We'll wrap up DFS. We'll give you some lineups. Then we'll get into the wide receivers. We'll play Name That Tiger. And read your emails, by the way, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We have an Apple Podcast question to read as well. At quarterback, we'll start with DraftKings. Mahomes, 7,400. Burrow 66, Stafford 63, Garoppolo 5,400. What's the best play there?
Burrow.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say was Burrow. I mean, I don't mind Mahomes either, but I feel like most people will gravitate toward Mahomes or Stafford. And Burrow's the one that's figuring to have the best game script and not a terrible matchup.
I'm going to guess everybody's playing Burrow based on his price.
He's the same.
He's right in the middle there, though. Like, if you look at Mahomes, he's obviously more. He's 800 more. Burrow's 300 more than Stafford.
Right, but Burrow just lit up this Chiefs defense 2 weeks ago. So
okay, well, then if that's the – if we had an inclination that that was going to be the case, then I would pivot to Stafford easily.
To get the less owned player.
Yeah, right. They're basically the same price. There's a difference of $300.
If I was going to guess the roster percentage, it probably would be Burrow 1, Stafford 2, Mahomes 3, Garoppolo a distant 4th.
Right. They're same price. Burrow and Stafford, same price on FanDuel. So who would you go with?
I mean, just in a vacuum, Burrow.
Burrow.
There'll be more exposure to Burrow.
Okay. Running back, did you feel like you had to have Mixon? Mixon is averaging 3.3 yards per carry in his last 8 games. He is, I mean, I don't know, is it, yeah, 8 games. And he has 7 straight games with 46 to 65 rushing yards. But he also has 4 straight games with 4 to 7 catches. So that helps. Chiefs give up a ton of catches, ton of receiving yards. Did you feel like you had to have Mixon? He is the most expensive. Or could you go with Akers and Mitchell or Akers and McKinnon or whatever?
I use Mixon in both my FanDuel lineups. I did not use Mixon in any DraftKings lineups.
Why?
Just because price. Okay. I'm essentially punting running backs on DraftKings. I don't think it's, you know, that much of a priority, given what the options are and the price. I have one lineup with Mitchell just because I think he's the second best running back this weekend. I would prefer more just pass catchers. And so I'm using McKinnon in both my DraftKings lineups that I've built so far, just because I think he'll still have his role in the passing game.
Okay. Dave, you said you want to get the chalk at running back.
If Darrell Williams plays, I'm going to use him. And I'll probably peel off of Mixon. And then I've got a ton more to spend at other positions, which is groovy.
Okay. Wide receiver. Kupp and Samuel are the most expensive. Tyreek Hill, it's Kupp, Debo, Hill, Chase. Those are your top 4 on DraftKings. At wide receiver on FanDuel, it's Kupp, Debo, Hill, Chase. So why shouldn't we play Ja'Marr Chase, who had 266 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs a few weeks ago? He's got 4 straight 100-yard games if you remove the 9% of the snaps that he played in Week 18. And the Chiefs, actually, like, they're not bad against outside receivers typically, but they were against Chase, and they've also now given up a 200-yard, 3-4 touchdown game to 2 wide receivers in their last, 4 games?
Yeah, right.
So this is what I always said about the Chiefs, is like, their defense is playing so well. They haven't played anyone. Let's see what happens when they play good offenses. When they play good offenses, they wilt. So I don't know how I don't play Ja'Marr Chase if he's the 4th most expensive wide receiver. And then Higgins, by the way, is the 5th most expensive wide receiver.
I mean, the two Bengals guys, they're begging you to play him.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just a matter of, again, how much exposure do you want to probably the most popular play? And so it's just a matter of, you know, you almost have to either go that route and say, I'm going to just play the chalk and take my chances with other players, or completely avoid it. So, I mean, Chase is probably going to be the most rostered player on both sites this week.
Where do you think Debo comes out on that?
I mean, his price is so high, but he beat them up. You know, so
twice,
you know, it's just a matter of, you know, do you want to spend the money on it? Hopefully he's 100%, you know, they say he's going to be fine. So, I would imagine these are the players you want. You want to have Kupp, you want to have Sammy, you want to have Chase, you want to have Tyreek Hill, you know, so if you can find a way to get 2 or more of those guys in your lineup, and then Higgins, you know, his price is also, you know, to me, Higgins is kind of the cutoff, because then you're dealing with, you know, Beckham and some of the other random guys. You know, I still think Beckham is worth using, but he just has struggled. But you get into the Tyler Boyd, Byron Pringle, you know, group, mm-hmm. and Jefferson group, you know, and it's not exactly the most comforting. Brandon Ayuk, you know, he didn't have some great games against the Rams either. So it's just a matter of what you trust.
Debo had 29 PPR points in each of 2 games against the Rams.
Wow.
At his price this week, if he gets you 29, that's 4 times value at 7,200. Debo's in my lineup.
Okay.
Goes without saying. And I, you know, Jamie brought up Pringle, Boyd, Jefferson, and I'll throw Juwan Jennings in there too. These are the dart throw receivers where if you're trying to save some extra money so that you can spend up at other receiver positions or at running back or a quarterback, you can pick one of these guys. I kind of like Pringle. I know he's
yeah, supposed Pringle to have the four.
Right. 4,300. He's just been playing a lot. He's basically the number two receiver now. Well, I guess you have to call him the number three receiver because Kelce and Tyreek are one in A and one B, but he's been playing a lot, should get some good opportunities against Cincinnati. And I wonder if that Bengals defense is running out of gas here down the stretch.
How do you feel about Brandon Ayuk? He's more expensive than the guys you were mentioning, but he's not expensive. And he's coming off, I think, a one target game, but that was with Garoppolo in bad weather throwing 19 times. So, you know, usually he's in the 6-7 target range, something like that. How do you feel about Ayuk this week? I don't feel like he's going to be very popular.
No, not at all. And so, if again, these are the type of players that if they hit, you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
So, you know, Boyd is, people are going to be scared off Boyd because of what happened last week too. Van Jefferson, Mecole Hardman, you know, these are the type of players that if you're looking at building your lineups the right way, they're going to come through for you if they hit. So you have to take some chances on these guys, and hopefully Ayuk is more involved in better weather. But, you know, it's kind of, you have to play out the game in your head. Okay, do the 49ers throw more than 19 times? You know, are they going to be playing with the lead if their run game is going? And so I would probably put, you know, I think the 49ers win the game. So I think, you know, Garoppolo probably in the 25 pass attempts range. So,
okay, let's go to tight end here. Sorry, tight end. Does it make sense to get Kelce? Like, who's the best value?
Higbee.
I can't. On FanDuel, Kittle was only $300 more than Higbee. You know, I kind of feel like on DraftKings, Kittle's $1,300 more than Higbee.
Right. So on that's an easy.
Maybe Higbee's gonna be better than Kittle. I mean, Kittle's been cold. But
yeah, but
I can't turn him down.
If he catches that pass that he dropped, it's a different conversation right now.
Oh yeah, he's got an 80-yard game last week. He had 4 for 63 on 6 targets. He has been cold. I get it, but I have a hard time getting him out of my lineup at his price, at least on FanDuel, where he's basically the same as Uzama and Higbee. Would you agree with that, or no? Or like who would you, if you were just doing tight end rankings this week, no price? What are your rankings?
Well, I mean, I did it. So okay. It's Kelce, Kittle, Higbee, Uzama.
Right. So you should probably go with Higbee. You could probably go with Kittle on FanDuel since he's basically
right,
the same.
Right, and Higbee on DraftKings.
Okay. And all right. How about a DST?
I just played the cheapest ones that I thought would be successful. So the 49ers, I think they're begging you to take. And then I just, you know, the Bengals in a couple lineups.
I can't bring myself to use the Bengals on DraftKings when the Niners are 200 more.
Yeah. It's basically what I did was FanDuel's Bengals and DraftKings with Niners.
I don't know if I could bring myself to use the Bengals, period.
I think the Chiefs
going up against the Chiefs, right?
Right. The Chiefs are 3,700 on FanDuel. The Bengals are 3,200. The Rams 45. The 49ers 4,200. So the Chiefs are the second least expensive on FanDuel.
On DraftKings, if you use the 49ers and then you're done setting your lineup and you still have 400 left over, you can move up to the Rams.
Yeah, you could have a loaded lineup without really sacrificing a DST, I think. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire in my lineup, but it's pretty loaded other than that on FanDuel.
I put him in one lineup.
The Rams. Yeah, with the Rams DST. I mean, the Bengals do not have a good run defense, so there's no reason why he can't have a 60-yard game and hope maybe a touchdown, something like that. But obviously it's a little bit wishful thinking with Clyde. What did he have last week? He had 7 carries for 60 yards and 1 catch. Okay. Let's give some lineups then. Jamie, give me your favorite lineup. Give me your favorite FanDuel lineup and your favorite DraftKings lineup. Go with FanDuel first.
Sure. FanDuel first.
Or whatever you want. I don't care.
I'll do my favorite DraftKings lineup first. So it's Burrow at quarterback, McKinnon and Akers at running back. Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuel, Jamar Chase at receiver, Uzama at tight end, Tyler Boyd at the flex, and Niners defense, DST. So Bengals stack there with Burrow, Chase, Uzama, and Boyd.
Okay, Dave?
I've got Burrow and Chase as my stack as well on DraftKings, but I'm different everywhere else. Mixon and Mitchell at running back. I have Debo too. Debo, I just can't live without in daily this week. Juwan Jennings is my cheap dart throw at wide receiver. Kelsey at tight end. Higby is the flex. Had to get him in there at that cheap price. And I had enough left over to use the Rams defense.
My DraftKings lineup is four Bengals. Bengals heavy. Come on. Let's go, DraftKings. Bring up this lineup, please. Burrow, Chase, Higgins, and Mixon. Cam Akers, Tyreek Hill, Tyler Higbee, and George Kittle, and the 49ers DST. But I have 700 remaining, so I could go to a different DST. But yeah, Burrow, Mixon, Akers, Higgins, Chase, Tyreek Hill. It's like three of the five best wide receivers, plus Higbee and Kittle and the Niners. FanDuel, it's pretty similar for me. It's Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Higgins. That's the staple of my two lineups. Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Higgins. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back. I have Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver. Oh, you know what? These lineups are almost exactly the same now that I'm seeing them. So it's Burrow, Mixon, Higgins, and Chase. It's Kittle at tight end. I also have Tyreek Hill in both lineups. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on FanDuel. I have Cam Akers on DraftKings. My flex is Brandon Ayuk on FanDuel and Tyler Higbee on DraftKings. I have the Rams on FanDuel and I have the Niners on DraftKings. Okay. Dave, FanDuel lineup, or do you not have one?
I do not have one.
Jamie, FanDuel lineup?
You want the Niners stack or the Rams stack?
Oh, the Niners stack.
All right. Jimmy G at quarterback. Mixon and Akers at running back.
All right.
Kupp, Debo, and Byron Pringle. George Kittle, T. Higgins, and the Bengals DST.
And by the way, here we got Sia Najad watching. He is on our Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. Says Bengals heavy for the win. I hope that wasn't supposed to be WTF. That was not a typo. He says FTW. Bengals heavy FTW. That's our DFS expert, Sia Najad. And thank you for weighing in there. Appreciate that. All right, guys.
So do we we're all kind of feeling the Bengals stack, huh? Including Sia.
Yeah, seems that way.
So maybe Jamie.
There's not
was
a lot
right
of ways to go. So I mean, it's, I know. You gotta kind of just buy into one side and feel how it's gonna play itself out.
Yeah. All right. So who's gonna win? What's our Super Bowl?
Repeat of Miami, Chiefs 49ers.
I'm gonna take the Chiefs. I really still haven't decided on the NFC side. I'll use the Rams as a placeholder for now.
I think Chiefs and Rams. I'm rooting for the Niners and I guess the Bengals. I don't really care, I guess, but I just have this affinity for the Niners. I don't know how they're going to win. The Rams are playing really well.
Well, the same way they won the last six against the Rams.
I know, but man, the Rams are playing so well and now they're not allowing people from outside the Los Angeles area to buy tickets.
Oh, whatever.
No, that was like a 24-hour thing.
Okay. They look really good right now, but the Niners should not be messed with. Trent Williams is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't use him. All right, I'm going to go with the Rams against my heart, but I did that last week with the Packers and it didn't serve me well.
It's a better game if it's Rams Chiefs. I mean, that's the one from an eyeball test you'd like to see, because clearly it's more of a high scoring affair. The 49ers are not going to get to that point total that the Rams will get to.
I don't want another team to host the Super Bowl. I don't know if that matters to you at all. I don't know. I just think it's kind of cheap.
Well, someone's in line for it every year.
This one will actually have, a full stadium.
What's that?
This one will have a full stadium. I mean, last year's stadium wasn't full. So
I don't remember that. It wasn't full?
No.
By the way, I'm going to make my favorite prop bet right now. I think you guys are going to approve. We're going receiving prop. We're going Joe Mixon and over 27 and a half.
I don't understand why that's not higher. I mean, that was one of the easiest props to play last week. By the way, I'll have all my lineups written up on the site with a bunch of props as well. So I crushed props last week. It was fun. It was a fun weekend. But yeah, the Mixon receiving prop. I mean, he's been so involved in the passing game in the last month.
And the Chiefs are just a great matchup for that. last week I played Aaron Jones over and Leonard Fournette over, and I mean, Aaron Jones cleared up by like 100. And yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, maybe a little bit market inefficiency here. I don't know what the hell it's called, but over receiving yards for these running backs that are involved in the passing game. I should have promoted this a while ago, but Ben Schrager's not here, so don't tell him I messed this up. But next week, we have Monday game recaps. Tuesday, we have tight end strategy and reflections. Thursday, we have some 2022 projections and rankings. We're going to do your news and notes, and then we will get into wide receivers after that. Ben Roethlisberger retired. Not a huge surprise. We've been preparing for that. But let's talk about the coaches. Denver hiring Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator. Let the Aaron Rodgers rumors begin. Yes. Fun stuff here. Sean Payton stepping away for at least one season.
You saw the report about Adams and Rodgers going to Denver together, right?
I did not see that report.
Yeah. So that's a strong rumor that if Rodgers gets traded there, that Davante Adams will look to sign there if he's not getting the franchise tag. So,
which means the Packers will franchise him and try and get a pick, an extra pick out of Denver for him.
Potentially, which makes a lot of sense. The potential trade package that I saw for Rodgers will include Jerry Jeudy going to Green Bay.
Oh. So what do you think of Hackett just going to the Broncos, Dave? Think he can hack it?
I think it'll be better if they have a good quarterback solution, obviously. I don't know if Hackett is going to be, you know, some whiz kid head coach like we've seen from other guys around the league. I know he's been under a lot of trees. He was originally a Doug Marrone protege when they were working together at Syracuse. The fun story that I remember from that year was that they scrapped their entire offense at the start of their training season. So like a month before the season starts, they scrapped and rebuilt their entire offense in Syracuse, and it worked really well for them, so much so that Marrone got the job in Buffalo and took Hackett with him. So I think that he can be innovative and clever, but I don't know how good it'll do Denver if they've got mediocre quarterback play.
All right. Well,
imagine that division if he goes there, if Rodgers goes
there. Oh, my God. I've thought of it.
Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, and let's, you know, give Derek Carr some credit. But still.
Still, come on. That's, the Raiders will be.
That's just murderer's upset. Row right there. It would, like, if I'm Rodgers and I'm looking at it and you see what this AFC looks like compared to what the NFC looks like in terms of what the quarterback play is,
yes.
You know, at least for next season, but who knows for the next couple of years, why would you want to leave Green Bay? You know, you have to go through Mahomes, Josh Allen, and, you know, for whatever it's worth, you know, Burrow and Herbert and, you know.
He's a competitor, man.
Well, obviously.
Bring it on.
But again, the path to the Super Bowl, not that it's helped him very much, but the path to the Super Bowl is certainly much easier in the NFC just from a quarterback play. But if he leaves, if Rodgers leaves and Brady retires, I mean, think about it now. The opportunity for Stafford, potentially.
Daniel
Jones.
No, but, you know, it could play into Russell Wilson's decision. You know, if you're looking at it, like, why would you want to leave, you know, unless you're going to another NFC team?
Yeah.
Stay in Seattle and have an easier path to the Super Bowl. Stafford's path to the Super Bowl, much easier. You know, now Deshaun Watson could change that if he goes to an NFC team. Obviously, he stays in the NFC. But, you know, Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford and, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, hopefully he gets things worked out and Russell Wilson, you know, those are the best quarterbacks right now in the NFC.
Sean Payton stepping away. So what do you guys make of this, Dave?
I understand
he
asked why
that question when he took Alvin Kamara the other day.
yeah, right. We talked about this.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to change how things work in New Orleans because Payton was really a good offensive schemer. He was helped along by having Drew Brees as his quarterback, of course, but he was really, like, I almost think that one of the best things that Sean Payton did was find under the radar talent. And you think about Colston, you think about Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore. You could even look at other guys this year. I'm probably blanking on some of those guys this year that really stepped up who came out of nowhere. He's really good at that. And then he's good at using them in his offense, whether it's a, you know, a small role like little Jordan Humphrey or Marquez Callaway. That's who I was thinking of, where these guys just are, you know, finds off the street and he puts them in good position to make plays. And he does it on both sides of the ball. No one knew who Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was until he went to New Orleans, really. I think it's definitely going to impact New Orleans there. and I'm worried about what the offense will be like. Are they scrapping the whole thing? Are they going to try and keep the playbook as it is? And same thing with Denver. Who's the quarterback going to be? Because they've got Taysom Hill right now. Jameis is a free agent. Do they try and upgrade? Do they try and make a big splash trade to get someone like Deshaun Watson, or do they chase Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that?
Can't afford it.
I don't think they can. They are the most salary cap strapped team in the NFL. And like the Packers, they're going to have to basically blow up one side of the football in order to get back to square one with the salary cap. It could be a really rough year.
Here's what you need to do as a dynasty manager. You need to be selling Alvin Kamara now, because there's a very good chance that he gets traded. He's their most tradable asset on offense. You know, you look at this defense.
Hold on.
There's so many older players.
Why would you sell him if he's going to get traded? Wouldn't it be a good thing?
Well, you don't know where he's going. I mean, you know, he could be going to a situation that's clearly worse from where he's been, you know, in terms of his value with the Saints. So he's still at a very high level that I think, you know, you're getting good capital in return for him. If he gets traded to a worse situation before the trade happens, you could be in trouble, you know. So and there's no guarantee he does get traded. You know, I mean, he may be the one thing that they decide to build around from an offensive standpoint. Michael Thomas, you should be selling, because, you know, he's not at the height of what he has been. But if this quarterback situation stays the same in a worse offense, then it could be even worse for him. So he's probably somebody that you could still get something good and good value in return for. But I'd be selling those two guys right now.
They can trade Kamara if he's designated a post June 1st trade. They can save $11 million on the salary cap, but I don't know if that's kosher in the wheelings and dealings of front offices to get under the cap by the time the year starts. They'll save a lot less if they trade him when the league year starts in March. And I got to look up Michael Thomas. I wonder if Thomas is the one to go and buy, because if he gets traded, theoretically, he'll go to a team where he can be the number one receiver there.
That's a good point.
And like, you're basically betting on him being in a better spot than what he would be in New Orleans with Taysom / Jameis / whoever, and a new offense there. So I got to double check his cap situation. All right. If they trade him, they only save $2 million. I bet they're not trading him. He's a $22.7 million cap hit, one way or the other. So I bet they keep him. So scrap what I just said, unless they figure out a way to restructure his deal before they trade him, which is always possible.
Yeah.
But
okay.
As it stands now, maybe he's not such a great buy low candidate. Because
I think there are some questions
contract.
About him in the building there. So he might be somebody that they're looking to get rid of.
Right. So then again, they could restructure his deal. It's not so bad against their cap. He does them a favor by restructuring, and then they trade him away.
Yeah, this team is really in a bad spot.
Yeah, it's no good. All right, so some more news here. Brian Daboll, the favorite to be the Miami head coach, according to the New York Daily News.
That's interesting.
Yeah, San Francisco left tackle Trent Williams missed practice.
Do you like what they said about Daniel Jones yesterday?
Who cares? I mean, they stood by
the
press conference.
I like it because they're
self-aware. Of what?
That they know they've screwed him up for the first 3 years of his career.
They screwed him up? It's not all the other people's faults. He hasn't played well. I mean, he hasn't had a good situation.
Why?
Their offensive line
right.
stinks.
Exactly.
But he hasn't played well. Tyrann Mathieu still in the concussion protocol. Now, at one point, the Chiefs were without three cornerbacks last week. Fenton practiced in full, so he'll be back. He missed the game last week. I didn't see an update on Tre'Davious Ward, but they could be missing two.
Didn't Ward come back in the game?
Did he?
I thought he did.
Okay. Well, then let's just say it's Mathieu in the concussion protocol, and otherwise they're good. Philadelphia right guard Brandon Brooks is retiring. He was a true stud, but he's only played two games in the last two seasons. And Rob Gronkowski said that if he had to decide right now, he would probably retire, but that could change. He needs some time to think about it.
Got full practice for Ward on Wednesday.
All right. So the Chiefs are pretty healthy, except for Tyrann Mathieu, which is obviously a big deal. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look back at wide receiver, tell you the lessons that we learned, and look ahead with a sleeper, a breakout, and a bust at the wide receiver position when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It is time for a brand new game. Yeah. Name that tiger. I'm going to ask you a very simple question, and you have to tell me, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase? All right? That's it.
No Russell Gage in here.
That's just Jefferson or Chase. Here's how we'll do it. Jamie will go first on the first one. Dave will go first on the second one. You will keep alternating, and I will keep a tally of who got it right. All right, here we go. Name that tiger. Who scored more half PPR fantasy points, Jamie than Dave?
Of those two?
Yeah.
Chase.
Jefferson.
More touchdown catches, Dave?
Chase.
Jefferson.
More red zone targets, Jamie?
Jefferson.
More rushing yards, Dave?
Chase.
Chase.
Who weighs more, according to Pro Football Reference?
Chase.
Jefferson.
Who had more catches last year, Dave?
Jefferson.
Last year being 2021?
Yeah, 2021. Sorry, 2021, yeah.
Jefferson.
Jefferson, okay. And who had more catches as a rookie? Who had more catches in his rookie season? Jamie.
Jefferson.
I'll say Chase.
According to Wikipedia, who was the first NFL player to be added to Fortnite with his dance, Get Gritty? Dave.
Jefferson.
Okay. More half PPR fantasy points. It was Jefferson. Dave gets the win there.
No, I do.
No, oh, you no, said yeah, Chase. Yeah, more touchdown catches. It was Chase. Dave gets the win there. More red zone targets. You both got it. It was Jefferson. More rushing yards. You both got it. It was Chase. 4-2, Dave. Who weighs more? Is Chase, according to Pro Football Reference, by 5 pounds. Jamie, you got that. It's 4-3. More catches. It was Jefferson. You both got it. More catches in his rookie season. It was Jefferson. Jamie got it. And that means we tied because you both got it right on the last one. Justin Jefferson is the first player to be added to Fortnite with his dance, Get Gritty. Congratulations. You tied. And name that tiger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did we get Joe Burrow as a prize?
Sure. Why not? You have them in all your DFS lineups. All right, let's do some wide receiver observations. Dave, you said something very interesting on Fantasy Football Today in 5. Would you like to repeat that factoid for us about wide receiver?
Absolutely. The top 12 average in PPR leagues in 2020 was 17.3 points per game, meaning you take the top 12 overall point getters. It's not a per game basis. You average them down to a per game basis, 17.3. That constitutes a great game for a wide receiver from that season. Do the exact same thing for 2021, and that number is 17.3. The exact same number year over year. In fact, the number for top 12 in full PPR, half PPR, none PPR, exactly the same across the board. 14.4 in half PPR, 11.5 in non-PPR.
Jamie, what stood out to you? That's pretty amazing, by the way.
It's crazy.
What stood out to you, a wide receiver, Jamie?
That there were a lot of busts based on the ADP for our site compared to where they finished. Obviously, Allen Robinson, he was a top 12 receiver based on ADP bust. Terry McLaurin was a bust. DeAndre Hopkins was a bust. You know, so some of that's injury related, clearly, quarterback, you know, related injuries. But that's, you know, just looking at points per game. DeAndre Hopkins is not a top 12 receiver points per game. And McLaurin and Robinson flopped. AJ Brown, same thing. He also was a bust based on his average draft position compared to his point per game finish.
Well, I'll tell you what stood out to me, man. Each of the top three wide receivers in non-PPR, that would be Kupp, Debo, and Chase, and three of the top five wide receivers in full PPR, same three, they just didn't finish top three in full PPR, they were all drafted outside the top 45. That's in Fantasy Pros ADP. Kupp was 46th. That is, I went back 10 years. That's the only time that's happened in at least the last 10 years where three of the top five in full PPR were drafted outside the top 45. And furthermore, Chase and Debo Samuel were drafted outside the top 70. The last time I could find a wide receiver who was drafted outside the top 70 and finished top five in PPR was Josh Gordon. I think that was 2013.
Yikes.
It really never happens. And it happened twice this year. And Debo is such a strange case because of his rushing totals. I mean, if you took away his rushing totals, he would have been ninth in non-PPR and 11th in full PPR. But if you took away his rushing totals, he would have been more involved in the passing game. I mean, that's kind of what happened. They stopped throwing him the ball. They started handing him the ball off to him. But anyway, I just thought that was really interesting, guys. And also, Kupp being the number one wide receiver, being drafted 46th overall, that range of wide receiver, 39th through 51st, what I found, seven of the last 10 seasons, we've had at least one top five wide receiver drafted 39th through 51st, Dave. So as you said yesterday, running back dead zone, pivot to wide receiver, and there's top five upside there. Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess I said everything. I did want to get your thoughts about this. Looking at the last six seasons and the top 12 in PPR, so 72 wide receivers, 61% of them were on top 12 offenses, 49% were on top 8 offenses, and only 15% of wide receivers who have finished top 12 in PPR last 6 years, only 15%, that's 11 of them, were on offenses that were 20th or worse in scoring. So, Jamie, what does all that, if anything, you know, mean to you?
Not much. I mean, you know, I think you obviously want to attach yourself to a good quarterback. You know, I think that's a big part of it. You know, having somebody that's going to, you know, feature your number one receiver. You know, that's the type of receiver that you want on your fantasy team. But I don't think it matters if your offense is that great. You know, I mean, it certainly helps because your quarterback's going to be better, but I don't think it's something you have to necessarily say, I have to have a top five or top 10 offense to get a great wide receiver performance out of it, because there are other factors that go into it. You know, how good is the run game? How many other receivers on the team are producing? So it doesn't necessarily have to be, I need the best offense to have the best wide receiver, or consistently have the best offense to have the best wide receiver.
I don't want to make it that you have to have the best offense, because it's only half of the top 12 wide receivers in the last six seasons have been on top eight offenses. 61% have been on top 12 offenses. I think the bigger thing to me is that it's rare to get a guy on a bad offense. You know, like for example, you had a top 12 in full PPR offense produce. You had a top 12 wide receiver on the Steelers and the Dolphins, and they were 21, 23 in scoring, something like that. I think, you know, it's risky when you start looking at teams that might just have terrible offenses. And it's even riskier in non-PPR and half PPR, because you're not going to get the Jalen Waddle catch-a-thon.
Boost with the receptions.
Right, or the Hunter Renfrow boost with receptions. But I don't know. I mean, maybe there just aren't that many receivers that we take that high that are on bad offenses anyway. But is that something we should be considering? Is that something that we should be considering in the middle round?
I don't think anybody's drafting anybody from these offenses that you know are going to be bad. Like, you know, we had this Kenny Galladay conversation the other day about nobody's drafting Kenny Galladay with the expectations he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. You're drafting him with the expectation that he's going to be maybe a top 36 wide receiver, or hopefully a top 24 guy.
Okay, so then let me phrase it differently then. What if you're talking about mid-round picks that you're looking for breakout potential? And maybe you took DJ Moore over Cooper Kupp. You know what I mean? And maybe the lesson is, when you're looking at the next tier, the next group, the rounds 4 through 6. We know a lot of wide receivers are going to come off the board there. Is that where we should be focusing on offenses and trying to attach ourselves to the high scoring?
Yes, that's the more appropriate way to, I think, frame this conversation of where does the breakouts lie? The breakouts are going to lie more with good offenses. So, you know, that goes without saying, you know, so they're going to have some obvious, you know, flaws in that, you know, and the flip side of Cooper Kupp was Robert Woods, who had, you know, a few good games, but obviously wasn't consistent and certainly did not live up to the expectations that we put on him going into the season. So, you know, I think when you get into it, like, you know, just looking at, do you want the ADP from CBS last year and see how those guys performed, you know, in relation to their offenses? Because it's probably pretty telling.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
So Adams was 1, Tyreek Hill was 2. You know what those guys are capable of with their offenses. Stephon Diggs was 3, Hopkins was 4. You know, and we know what happened to him. You know, with injuries to himself, to his quarterback, and then just spreading the ball around. Ridley's a different conversation. He was 5, Metcalf 6, Jefferson 7, Keenan Allen 8, AJ Brown 9, Terry McLaurin 10, Allen Robinson 11, bam. Robert Woods 12.
Right there, 10 and 11 really stand out. Right? McLaurin and Robinson.
Right. But the expectations were, you know, and I certainly was over the moon for Terry McLaurin, was that his quarterback was going to pepper him with targets, you know? So even though the offense might not have been successful, that was the case. And that was the case for Allen Robinson, because that's what we've seen from him, you know? And so, you know, the red flags were there, you know, and I know, Adam, you were probably the loudest about that of, you know, Justin Fields is probably not going to feature Allen Robinson to the same level because he's mobile. And he'll move a little bit, you know, and you were saying that a lot. And I don't think that was necessarily the reason why he was a failure, because most of his failure started with Andy Dalton, but it was just, you know, part of it. And then he got hurt and the COVID situation and wasn't able to ever recover from, you know, the slow start and the struggles. And so, but it does lend itself to, you know, and even AJ Brown, you know, I mean, that's probably a guy that you can say, because they're not going to have a very prolific passing attack. But the hope again is that he fits the mold of, you know, 120 to 150 target type of guy, and that he delivers those big numbers. But we had that conversation the other day that might not be the case for AJ Brown, that you're banking on touchdowns for him.
Okay, so why don't we look ahead to sleepers, breakouts, and busts, do some early prognostications.
There is news. The Bears just potentially hired their head coach.
Oh, who?
Who's that?
Can you guess?
Ditka.
No, I really don't have a guess here.
Dave?
I'll just say Flores, even though I don't think it's him.
I would be surprised if it was Flores. Who was it that... Oh, no. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Flores, because he and Poles have a relationship. I'll say Flores.
It's not. It's Matt Eberflus. He's the new head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Huh. What do you think?
Yeah. I've always felt like the Colts defense was pretty underrated. They had some really good talent there, but I honestly, I thought it was all just thanks to two really great players in the front seven. Like the fact that they were as competitive as they were on defense last year was, well,
Kenny
was
Moore
a good sign. Yeah, you're right. Kenny Moore definitely counts. He's a slot corner there too. So three really good players, and they got some good play out of Xavier Rhodes. So I'll take that back. Yeah. But I remember looking at their pass rush coming into this year and thinking, is this really going to be good enough? I don't know. And they stayed competitive even without a great pass rush. They'll have a better pass rush to work with in Chicago, obviously.
It just, first off, he's got to hire the right offense coordinator. Clearly, that's the next step for our purposes. The chain of events for him is just amazing. If you think about it, remember how he got his job. Mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels hired him when he was the brief stint when he was named the Colts coach. And then they kept him as the defensive coordinator, even though McDaniels backed out of the job. And now he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
That's great. Good for him. Congratulations. And yes, that offensive coordinator hire will be what we react to, as we're hoping for a big breakout from Justin Fields. So let's go back to wide receivers. We'll finish there. Then we'll read your questions to end the show. So give me your favorite early sleeper, Dave.
I told you on FFT and 5 that it was Nico Collins, because I just wanted to go crazy and give somebody like really low end on the sleeper chart. I don't know. I think he could end up being a decent target hog there in Houston. The number 2 target getter showed some flashes toward the end of the year. He's a big receiver. It's a team that I still think is going to be chasing points a lot. And when we're talking, I know we just got to talking about how you want to get receivers that are matched with great quarterbacks and are in strong offenses. Well, not every receiver is like that. And when you're talking double digit rounds, you might take a shot on somebody that can at least be usable as a late round pick who maybe can be a bye week guy. Certainly it helps when they skew younger like Nico Collins is. Certainly it helps when they skew bigger like Nico Collins is. So I would say I've seen him go in like round 12 plus in our mock so far this year. I don't have a problem with it.
Jamie, early sleeper?
Josh Palmer. Give me all the Josh Palmer I can get. You know, great quarterback, obviously. Hopefully big opportunity in front of him if Mike Williams leaves. Not that they're going to do the same things, but just opportunity to get more targets and get more playing time. Love the setup for him. I know they love him. And so, you know, Josh Palmer, I think, is in a great spot. Somebody I will be taking in almost every draft.
Do you take him if Mike Williams stays?
No, but I don't think Mike Williams stays.
All right, let's do early breakout. Jamie.
I'll go to Elijah Moore. He was drafted too soon in our mock draft, you know, going in round four. But like the setup for him, what we saw when he was healthy, think he has a big opportunity in front of him. If he's going in that range, then that's a little bit too high. But round five or later is where I'll be looking for Elijah Moore, and I think he's got a big opportunity in front of him.
Well, Dave, who else you got? Because I know.
I mean, it's throw a rock and pick a second year receiver, because Moore is certainly going to be a popular one. And I think Rashad Bateman will be a popular one. I want to see what the new Giants coaching staff does with Kadarius Toney, because we saw that flash for 2 weeks in New York where he was just the sensational make you miss type of receiver. And if they work hard to get the ball into his hands, he's going to greatly improve how that offense moves. So I don't have a problem taking him. We've seen him go right around pick 100. I know it's not a great offense, but I do think that they will try and improve that offensive line. Coaching staff this year can't be worse than the coaching staff from the last 2 years. And Kadarius Toney could be a great find in PPR.
And an early bust, Dave.
I'll go with Hopkins. I love the guy, and he's such a stud when he does play. But I think he's slowing down a little bit. We haven't seen the Arizona offense progress to the next level. Obviously, they went backward toward the second half of this past season. A lot of that had to do with Hopkins not being there. But even when he was there, he wasn't dominating targets like he was before. So he looks to me like a older, touchdown-dependent wide receiver, and I'm not going to take him in that, you know, 20 to 35-ish range on draft day.
And Jamie?
It's contingent on what happens with the quarterback situation. But if Tom Brady leaves, Mike Evans will be a bust. I can't fathom a situation where he'll be drafted, especially if Godwin's gone. He's going to get overdrafted because he'll be the number one guy there, and you know what we saw from him. But I'm just so nervous about what the quarterback play could be there. You know, if it's Kyle Trask, that could be awful. You know,
what if it's Jameis? What if it's Jameis?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll go that route again. I don't know if they'll go back to that. Would seem a little strange, but could certainly happen. But, you know, that would be good. So, you know, like I said, contingent on the quarterback situation. But Mike Evans' scenario without quality quarterback play makes me nervous based on what the expectations will be.
I don't know if I said this on Monday's show, but he deserves a lot of credit because I dump on Mike Evans all the time for getting shut down by elite cornerbacks. And he's faced Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey 2 weeks in a row. And he had two really big games, so good for him.
I think part of that, though, is when he's by himself.
Sure, but at least he still did it, you know?
Right.
But yeah, they couldn't just pivot
away.
Right, they couldn't just pivot away from him right. This time. I totally get that. But no, I was surprised, I guess, by the production, at least the first time.
You guys want more breaking NFL news?
Oh,
coaching
yeah.
News?
Yeah.
Dan Quinn is staying with the Cowboys.
Oh, interesting.
Well, when you have jobs that you want.
Right. He's in four teams that he's staying with the Cowboys.
Okay.
It's a good pivot play because if they get off to a slow start, he's the next head coach there.
Well,
Kellen Moore?
Oh, they would give him the job over Kellen Moore.
There's this guy who used to coach.
I'm talking interim in-season.
Oh,
they're not going to fire him and bring in Sean Payton midseason.
No, but you know who's going to be the next coach there.
Well, if he gets them to the playoffs and they win a Super Bowl, which could certainly still happen if they fire Mike McCarthy, then yes, he would still be the head coach.
You guys are talking about Sean Payton, obviously. Okay,
and
let's
hear Sean Payton actually likes Miami more than Dallas.
Yeah, but that job's open now.
All right, let's read some questions here. Apple Podcasts from Dolphezy. keeper question that could very well change in August. We are allowed to have one keeper next year from our current roster, and the keeper you select for 2022, excuse me, will be a round ahead of where you took him in 2021.
Yep.
Okay. So
good way to do it.
Yeah. I think we already answered this one. yeah, we did. Jonathan Taylor, this is not my fault, I swear.
Jonathan, it's not your fault. Send the notes.
It's my fault.
The emails in there.
I should have read it beforehand. Jonathan Taylor in the first round or Deebo Samuel in the seventh round? No, Deebo Samuel in the sixth round. We did answer this, yeah.
Yep,
we did.
I don't remember what we said, though. We said Deebo, right?
Yep.
I thought I said Taylor.
You said Taylor. That's right. Okay, well, listen, I hope it was more helpful the first time. Let's read some emails. Who do you prefer for the next three seasons, Justin Fields or Trey Lance? This is from Joe.
Oh, boy. Can we answer that once we find out who the offense coordinator is for Chicago?
Well, we answer questions multiple times now, so.
I'll say Fields.
We can answer it now and again next week. I don't think Garoppolo's staying in San Francisco after this year. I will take Trey Lance.
All right. This is from Zach from an Olympic city north of Seattle.
Vancouver.
Dear Hawk, Stark, Kadarius, and Soprano.
Those are Tonys.
They are. I'm floating CMC, Christian McCaffrey, out for trade in my 10-team Superflex PPR league. My other running backs are Derrick Henry, Javonte Williams, Jeff Wilson, Devontae Freeman, and Jordan Howard, and other trash unplayable options. Okay, I am asking for Pittman, Sermon, Tony, 2022 first round pick, 105, and 2023 first round pick. Is that a good enough offer for McCaffrey? He's looking for Pittman, Trey Sermon, no. Kadarius Tony, and a first round pick this year and next year, and that would be pick 105 this year.
Yeah, if you can get that for McCaffrey, I think that that's the type of value to expect. Maybe a little bit more than what to expect. You might be getting a good deal there.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, McCaffrey's a polarizing player right now. Everybody that's had him on their fantasy team for the last 2 years is going to promise to never take him again. You know what the upside is. Chris Towers is going to bang the drum for McCaffrey for the next 6 months on why he should be the number one overall pick, and everybody can figure out why. But is he going to come through? Is he going to be able to stay healthy and be effective for the next two or three seasons? And I don't think anybody can answer that confidently that he will. But I also don't think anybody can say, well, he's trash, he's done, it's over. And if you think that that is the case, if you're really going to rationalize that what we've seen over the last 2 years is a harbinger of things to come, you would take that deal without the picks. So just that you can get two interesting young receivers plus two first-round picks for McCaffrey, yeah, the more I sit here and think about it, the more I think that that's you're ripping somebody off.
If you get that same deal for Henry, though, you take it too.
For sure.
All right, this is from Brian. Startup Dynasty, half PPR, three receivers, two flex, holding the startup draft soon. And what?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm so confused by this question. I'm holding the draft soon, and I'm using kickers as placeholders for the rookie draft. The first kicker gets drafted 101. The second.
I see. So when you draft a kicker, that means that you're getting the 101 in the rookie draft.
No, you're just using, it's like what we do when we used to do those drafts. You're just using the kicker's name to replace.
No. I don't think they're actually picking the rookies. I think they're picking, like, let's say it's round three and there's nobody I really like. I draft a kicker and I'm the first one to take a kicker.
I see.
That's the 101 pick.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I got
you. The next kicker is the 102. The next kicker is 103.
Gotcha. How would you quantify their value? When should I look at getting a top five rookie pick? That's really interesting. I don't know that I've done a startup.
Why would you do the draft now?
What's that?
Why were you doing the draft? Why would they do the draft now?
I don't know, but I've never done a startup dynasty draft with rookie picks like that are not, you know, that are not players. They usually do a separate rookie draft. This is basically putting the rookies in this draft pool. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, when should they go off the board? The rookie picks.
I mean, round two?
This is a startup dynasty draft.
Right.
Can you name the player that you would take Can you name the rookie that you would take ahead?
No, but I'd like to have that option potentially. He doesn't have to take the player. They don't have to take the player.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable ready to answer this other than saying maybe like round four for now, just because
Jamar Chase and Najee Harris were the top two players going into the
right.
The,
but we knew about these guys. We knew about them.
But it doesn't matter. They don't have to know about where they are. No, it doesn't. You're taking that play.
But who's the player?
Who are you leaving behind? That's a veteran. That's in the starter.
Okay. What I'm getting at is, if you knew you're doing a rookie a startup draft now, Jamar Chase is the number one overall player in most dynasty leagues. Number one. If you have the opportunity to take that player, you'd be taking it first overall.
Does that player exist? Is there a receiver as good as Jamar Chase?
Yeah, but when you have to make that decision. So let me ask you, like,
round two.
So if you're choosing between pick 101 in a rookie draft or CeeDee Lamb, because this is not last year. There are not going to be maybe any skill position players in the top 10.
But again, you're trying to project out for at least 3 years. So if I get the chance to take somebody that might be great for the next 3 years, I'm going to pounce on that if I have an opportunity to, where I'm taking still a great player in round one, a great young player in round one that's going to be good for many, many years, hopefully. And then I'm going to take a chance on somebody. That's the earliest I would pull a trigger is in round two.
So what about CeeDee Lamb? What about that example?
I would take the 101 over CeeDee Lamb.
How about the 101 or Dalvin Cook?
CeeDee Lamb is not making it to the back end of round two in a startup dynasty league. Shouldn't.
How about Dalvin Cook?
I don't think Dalvin Cook makes it back that far either, but Dalvin Cook is still probably a back end of the first round pick.
Yeah, I know, but you're saying you... Okay, so you'll take Dalvin Cook before 101 in the rookie draft.
Yes.
So what about Christian McCaffrey?
I would take the 101 over Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. Dave, any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a player that I love enough to take ahead of Christian McCaffrey in the rookie class of 2022. Don't hold me to it. There's going to be plenty of time between now and April. But for now, like, there just isn't that big name. There were so many big name players that we already knew about this time last year. And this year, I just feel like, a bunch of receivers are hurt. The quarterbacks are, they all have flaws. The running backs, there isn't like a dominant running back. There isn't a Najee. There isn't a Jonathan Taylor. So I don't know if I'm willing to say that. I think I might take McCaffrey and Lamb ahead of the 101.
I think I'm going to fall in love with once I learn his name, Garrett Wilson.
He's fun.
Both of the wide receivers from Ohio State, I really like a lot. But good wide receiver draft, but none of them are currently projected to go in the top 10, at least of the CBS mock draft I'm looking at. Treylon Burks of Arkansas projected to go 11th in our latest mock draft. But last year you had potentially three top 10 picks at wide receiver. Devontae Smith fell to 11th. Okay, and then last question here is from Bill. I would like to know if it's possible that The Wedding Singer is the most underrated Adam Sandler movie. Otherwise, which one is it? Which one is?
The most underrated?
Yeah.
So what, you would say Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison are probably the best, top two?
Yeah.
And Wedding Singer would be right up there with them. Wedding Singer's outstanding. I don't think it's underrated at all.
Yeah, I think Wedding Singer and Waterboy,
those would be the next two.
For the top five. I mean, what's the fifth one?
Some people like Little Nicky. Well, I'm not necessarily looking for the best. I'm looking for the most underrated.
Yeah, but if it's a top five Adam Sandler movie, it can't be underrated.
I guess so, but The Wedding Singer is really, really good. I mean, it's not just funny. It's very good.
Yes.
Very enjoyable. It might be underrated from that perspective. It's a great flick.
What about Eight Crazy Nights?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
You like it? It's good?
I love it.
Yeah, like we have a vote here for Big Daddy. I don't think Big Daddy's underrated. I think Big Daddy is appropriately.
That'd be the top five. There's your top five Adam Sandler movies.
I really like, people hate this movie. So this is a polarizing one for me, but I really like Just Go With It with Jennifer Aniston.
It's a good one. I think 50 First Dates is a good one too.
50 First Dates is okay. Yeah. To me, Just Go With It is the most underrated Adam Sandler movie. It's not a great movie, but it's not Grown Ups. It's good. It's definitely watchable. All right, fun stuff. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Dave and Jamie. Good luck, everybody, in your DFS tournaments this weekend. Got me to say the word tournament. And Dave, watch Taken tonight or tomorrow or Saturday. You got 3 days before football starts. Watch Taken. Report back.
I'll do my best.
Good luck.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.